Now you're being
okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming and giving your time to listen to us in our presentation. I just want to pray before we start. Dear God, thank you so much for this beautiful day and for all of these people that were able to come. God, I thank you so much for all of your blessings, and especially for this past year and a half, and for how much we've learned and grown and experienced you, God. And I pray that we'd be able to shine your light, and that these people would be able to see you through us and not anything that we've done. So I pray that you would just bless this time, and I thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen with everybody. Okay. So, if anybody doesn't know, my name is Amelia. And we went to Romania last April. We had originally planned just to go for a 2.5 month Bible school from April to June. But things changed a little bit, and this is a presentation about the last year and a half. So it's a little bit long. We tried to cover everything, but if we go too fast past something, you can, I gave you cards, so you can write down any questions that you have, and maybe we can answer them at the end. So, a lot of you invested your time and, love and support into us, and we want to share with you what happened with that. We ended up falling in love with Torchbearers, with PDF, so you all invested all that love and support into this ministry. So we want to explain a little bit about what that ministry is. So PDF is a part of Torchbearers International. Torchbearers International was started by Major Ian Thomas in 1947, and some of you know his books or have listened to his sermons. So now there are 26 centers in 19 countries around the world. Torchbearers International is an interdenominational Christian ministry that offers short-term Bible school programs, conferences, camps, and retreats. Their mission is to proclaim the transforming presence of Jesus Christ through biblical teaching and practical training. They equip men and women for service in His church worldwide. And these are the 26 different centers. This is actually at our center in PDF. It's a map on the wall, and you can see the different centers.
This one is where we were in Romania.
And so PDF is one of those 26 centers. It was founded in 2001 by Ebbe and Elke Beck. They are now the directors of PDF. And PDF stands for Portatori de Facile, so Bearers of the Torch. And it offers SMBS, which is the Spring Missions Bible School, which Abby and I went to. They have Adventures Bible School, year-round camps, conferences, and other events. Their mission is to share the gospel with Romanian youth and adults, to lead them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through practical and outdoor learning experiences. And the staff really takes time to invest personally into raising up missionaries and followers of Jesus. So we have groups that come to our center, and there are missionary families who live at the center on staff and devote their time to programs, Bible studies, personal discussions, outdoor adventures, summer camps, winter camps, and Bible schools. So some of the camps are led by PDF and the leaders at PDF. They involve outdoor elements and lectures connecting to spiritual life. And they pay for room, food, equipment when they come. There's a lot of different trainings and camps, and they have, depending on what you're there for, dictates what you pay. So anywhere from $25 to $200 for a training or camp, and the Bible school is $2,000. And it includes these things. And then some groups can rent the building and our ground and our area for different conferences and meetings and camps. And they pay depending what they want. We offer assistance in preparing the schedule with Bible studies and outdoor adventures, and we'll explain kind of what we offer. So this is a map of Europe, and for some of you who maybe don't know where Romania is, I didn't really know where Romania was when we went to Romania, but it's a considering country right there. And this is the country of Romania. And so the arrow is pointing to where we live in the city of Brăila, and then it's part of the bigger province of Brașov.
It's Brașov, and there's Brăila, so we live there, and this is the province that we live in.
And then down at the bottom is the capital of Bucharest. So just a little bit about Romania. Communism fell in 1989, so not that long ago, and you can still definitely see the influences of communism. And there was a lot of Germans who lived there, so you can definitely see the influence of German and Saxons in Romania. And Romania joined the European Union in 2007. And because of that, because of how recent it was, they're still kind of separated from Europe, and they use the currency of lei. So 4 lei is about $1. And the seasons and the weather are pretty similar to here. And then also Romanian is a Latin-based language, so some of the words are really similar to English, but they have some extra letters, and we'll tell you what those letters sound like. So the first one, with the roof on top, if you make the shape of a roof with your mouth, so like this, that's the sound of that letter. And then the second one with the boat on top is so like U-H if you spell it out in English. And the S with the tail at the bottom sounds like sh, so S-H. And then the T with the tail sounds like so T-S if you were to spell it out in English. So yeah, we'll start with Bible school, and this is our city that we live in, Brăila. You can see over the top, the citadel. And this is our Bible school. We're 17 students, and this is our first day.
This was our first week at the Bible school.
And this is the view from the top at the citadel. There's an old castle, and you can see the whole city of Brăila. And this is on the way to Brașov from Brăila. And you can see the houses are typical Romanian houses with a very German influence. And this is the market in Brăila, which is run by the gypsies. Gypsies are people who live in Romania, but they're kind of lower class people and really looked down upon by the Romanian people, and they're very poor and live in really poor areas separated from the other Romanian people. And this is Brașov, the old center. It's a really beautiful city with some shops and churches, and then there's also a hill, and you can look down onto the center and the city.
This is only a part of Brașov. There's a much bigger, like a newer part of the center as well.
Mm-hmm. Can everybody hear? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is some of the typical food of Romania. These berries we actually bought, so we didn't pick them. But out in the forest and the mountains, you can find raspberries and strawberries, and also higher up the mountain, you can find blueberries. And this here is papanash, a typical Romanian dessert. It's kind of like a donut, but it comes with the donut hole as well. So instead of buying that, it's really like a sour cream and jam on it, and then that's what they eat together. And then this one here is called somale. It's a traditional Romanian dish. It goes with polenta or mamaliga, which is like a cornmeal that's boiled in water. It's very clean. And then there's also the somale, which is here, and it's a mixture of pork and different meats and onions and seasonings wrapped up in cabbage leaves. And then they also have sour cream with it, which they eat with a lot of things. And here we also have pizza, which we eat a lot of it with the can. But the thing is, we usually eat it with corn, which isn't usually typical American. And they also like ketchup on it, which also is kind of weird for us Americans.
So this is the staff and volunteers that live at the center. And this is who we were quarantining with during Corona, so we were able to be with all of these people because we all live in the same homes. And so that was really, really nice to be able to still have community during the pandemic. So a little bit about the staff and volunteers. Everyone except for one staff lives at the center.
Yeah, there's 39 staff members, including the families and kids. There's 9 families, 5 singles, and me, because I'm not necessarily staff and I'm not a long-term volunteer. And then there's 17 kids at the center, and the youngest is 8 months, growing up to 16 years old.
Yeah, and then we have year-long volunteers who come in the fall from Germany with an organization, and they have the organization has an agreement with PDF, and they send volunteers who they think would be best to come to PDF. They send them to us, and then they stay for a whole year. And then we also have summer and winter volunteers who just stay for those seasons and aren't there as long. Bible school RAs, which stands for residential assistant, come to help plan the Bible school and to lead everything that goes on with the Bible school. So this is the center where we live. There's the main building where we lived for the past year and a half. Just recently, right before we left, we moved into the new building, which is there. This is an older picture, so there is a building there now. And then there's also 2 staff houses. We have 4 families, so 2 families in each house. We have a volleyball court, a fun court where we can play hockey, soccer, basketball. There's also a Boy Shore pavilion where you can sit outside and eat, and it's really beautiful. And then there's also a house in the top right corner where the director and his family live, and there's also an apartment attached to where another family lives. So if you go, this is the main building from the outside. When we first came to Bible school, we lived in that room, but then in the fall we moved to that room, and then for the summer we lived in that room, and now we're in the new building. So when you go in, this is the main reception seating area, and then off to the, if you go through those doors, is the dining room, which is about 100 people, and then also alongside the dining hall is the bistro, where we spend a lot of time just hanging out, playing games, talking, having worship nights. And then we also have a conference hall, which can hold about 150 people. And a lot of the camp conferences are held in there, a lot of events. And there's also foosball, ping pong. And this is where most of our lectures for Bible school were held. And this is our Bible school the first week with the director, Ebbe. He's giving a lesson about missions, and so this is the 17 of us there. And so some highlights from Bible school, we started out with team building. Each week we would go to a different family at the center to kind of ask them questions about what it's like to be a missionary, what's their experience, advice, and then we had lectures talking about missions and cultures, differences, and the whole time we spent kind of preparing for missions to see what it's like, to see if we're interested, if this is something that God is calling us to. And once a week, we would go on local outreaches. We'll explain all of this in more detail in a minute. And then we also had different excursions and challenges during the week or on weekends. And the whole time we just were able to grow in a more personal relationship with God, because we had grown up going to church, but this is a time for us to really deepen our faith and our understanding and relationship with God.
And also surround ourselves by just the Christian community that was there, and also with the students. We made a lot of friendships and have been able to keep in touch with them over these past couple of months.
So this is my local outreach. During the week we would prepare for this. It was a group of 5 or 6 of us, and we would prepare a Bible lesson, a couple of songs, and either a craft or a game. And so this is us playing some games and hanging out with the kids. And they're really hungry for love and attention, because they don't get that at home. And they're really open to hearing about Bible stories, and they know a lot about the Bible because the other leaders at this after-school program try to teach them about God as much as they can. And so we were there to kind of let them see God through us and what a real relationship with God looks like.
Here's my outreach, and it was a little bit harder. I was at an orphanage, a smaller orphanage, so it was only 4 or 5 kids, so it was kind of hard to do the program, and they went to church every week, and so they kind of were forced into religion, and they didn't want us to go in and force more religion on them, which was kind of hard. So we just went and did some crafts with them, and played games with them, and did kind of like stories that had like a biblical principle in them. I just loved on them, because they didn't have those relationships, like outside of the orphanage.
During Bible school, we had three main challenges. There was the cultural encounter, mission outreach, which we spent almost the whole time in Bible school kind of preparing for this big outreach, and then also the outdoor challenge. For the cultural encounter, we were separated into three groups, and each group was dropped off in a separate village with really nothing. We had one backpack that had, it was just kind of filled with our jackets and Bibles and tracts. We had like one emergency phone and some emergency money, but the whole thing was kind of a challenge or a game, so it was points. If we opened the phone or used the money, then it would take off points.
And we only had the clothes on our backs and I think one sandwich.
We each had one sandwich, yeah. So we had to find a place to stay. It was for 3 days. We had to find, food to eat, people to see, and we also did a lot of practical work, evangelism, and there's different challenges each day. And at the end, we all had to meet in the same village, so we had to find our way to that other village. During this time, we really physically experienced God and saw Him answer prayers, like, immediately sometimes. We learned to work as a team. We had to rely on God for literally everything because we had nothing. And we experienced the generosity and hospitality of complete strangers and, really experienced the culture, which was the point of this cultural encounter. This is my group. We were six people. The first day we found a woman who let us stay in her house in exchange for doing some practical work for her husband. We cleared a field from trees and then helped them build a little pathway kind of road type thing. You can see in the bottom left hand corner. And then the next night, the owner of the field offered for us to stay in his little tiny stone guest house, which is amazing. And then the next day we went to a second village. We asked people how to get to this village. Each day we would open up different places where we had to go and we had to find our way there. And so that day we hiked to the second village, found out that was not our destination and we had to go to another village, but this family in the top left welcomed us into their home and gave us food and then ended up driving us to our third destination. And this is a carusa, a horse drawn carriage, and that was the main transportation of the people in this village.
Yeah, so this is my cultural encounter. We were a group of five people, and during the whole time of Bible school, they would always separate the sisters. We couldn't be together, which I am thankful for looking back, because since we are always so together, it was nice to realize who we are separately from each other. My group was fully thinking that we were going to sleep under a bridge, we weren't going to find anybody, but we were just going to deal with it. And so we ended up finding this man, Charlie, who's over in the top right. He opened up his home to us and allowed us to stay there both of the nights, which was amazing. And he had a farm with deer, buffalo, goats, everything. There's a picture of me holding a newborn goat, and he was 2 or 3 days old. So we did some practical work for him, which really helped him out, and he actually drove us to the second location, which was amazing. And then to get to the third location, he had some more difficulties, if you want to ask, kind of have a the story. It was an amazing time, like Amir said, to see how God just cared for us and took care of us the whole time.
And then we had our mission outreach at the Black Sea, which lasted a whole week. And the week before, we spent planning all of these different kids' programs. The places where we would go was organized by the leaders of PDF, but our group had to plan all the programs. We also did street evangelism. We did some practical work for the church. We performed skits and led worship for kids and adults. And during this time, we felt God working through us and filling us with wisdom and energy, because it would get really tiring going from one kids program to another, and we just felt God working through us and giving us the energy to be able to minister with these kids. The power of prayer is also really evident, especially during street evangelism, when we felt like we couldn't do anything. We would just pray and see God work, and that was really amazing. We also learned to just go for it and be open with kids and to try to speak our really bad Romanian and just have fun and not care if they thought we were silly, because that actually helped them to open up and just, be honest and make a connection with them.
Yeah, and so our Bible school was split into two groups, so our group went to the Black Sea. We were able to choose which location, and then I ended up being together for this challenge. The other half of the Bible school actually went up into a northern part of Romania, so we went into two separate different locations.
This is us doing some practical work for the church. We sanded and painted a fence.
And we also did kids programs inside of the church that we helped with, and adult programs as well.
This was during street evangelism, just praying. Because we didn't speak Romanian, we weren't always able to have that deep connection spiritually or personally sometimes with the people. And so the Romanians from our group would have more of these deep conversations and connections, and us who couldn't speak Romanian would just pray for these people and see God work and just touch the lives of the people who were on the street.
Yeah, here we are on one of the kids' programs that is at a new setting, and we're just doing an icebreaker trying to get to know the kids and to have more of a relationship with them.
These are some games and connections we made. This is at a Christian center. There was a lot of kids there. We did a Bible lesson. Some of us shared our testimonies. We did worship time and then played games. And it was really cool to see all these kids come. And a lot of them were Christian. Some of them weren't. This girl, her name was Amalia. Not Amelia. Amalia is like the Romanian version of Amelia. I was really able to connect with her. And she's really interested in learning about God and Jesus and what Christians do and who we are, and I was able to talk a lot with her, but at home she's not able to say the name Jesus or have anything to do with Christianity. I was able to give her a Bible, and yeah, I prayed for her a lot and hope that I'll be able to connect again with her one day.
And yeah, so the final challenge was the outdoor challenge. We were in the three groups and six people each, and it was a mixture of biking, camping, and hiking. They taught us how to make a fire and tie knots and to build a shelter and to also read a map just to, like, so we'd be able to find our own way. There was also a lecturer who came with us. He was the lecturer of that week, and he came along with us and was able to do lectures while we were on the hike on team building and leadership. And we also had to have we had a budget of $5 a person per day, which is about $1.25. And so we went out beforehand and bought all the food, and we had a time limit that we had to hurry up and buy all the food, which wasn't that much food, but that was the food that we had for 3 days. Yeah, so this is my group. We had to bike to the first location, which was at the cross over there. And we had some difficulties along the way, and I came back off once, and we were able to make it to the second location, where all the teams would meet up, and you could really see how the whole Bible school was one team. They would help us find firewood that night, and yeah, it was just super encouraging to see how everyone worked together. And this middle picture is me climbing up this huge rock wall. And
with a giant backpack.
Yeah, with a huge backpack, and it was very hard and exhausting. And that was one of the moments that I felt God just in me and like giving me the strength that I needed, because I wasn't that active before I went, and so just hiking up, I was like, God, I don't need the energy to run up this mountain, but I just need the strength to get one more step ahead, and I just need to get to the end point and just to keep going forward, and I was only able to do that with His strength. So that's one thing that I learned, a big thing that I learned there.
This is my group. We also went to the same cross, but just, yeah, at different times we weren't all together, like she said, and then in the evenings we would meet up with the other groups. I love this. I love being outside and hiking and camping, and my team was really amazing, really encouraging, and we were able to get to know each other really personally and to sing songs and to stay kind of motivated, because during this time the weather was really, really bad and really cold. Actually, But our lecturer, Phil, he was a lecturer for the week. We would have different guest speakers at Bible school, and his wife came with us. She was in my group, and she actually had to go back early because she almost had hypothermia. That was very good, but she's okay now. And this is during one of the lectures under a rock because it was raining. This is all of us all together. The last day, the leaders of PDF led us through the mountains because the weather was really bad and it was yeah, not such good condition.
Yeah, we did. This was one of the big snow bridges that we had across. It was very dangerous. These are the leaders that had to mark the way to be there in case we fell, because if we fell, it was kind of just straight down on snow and ice.
This was through some fog.
You couldn't really see in front of me.
This is our group. On the last day when we found out we were going home, we were all pretty happy. Pretty done.
Because we thought that it was around 3 days, but we weren't completely sure. So it was kind of a guess in our head. And this is after we all came back with our sleeping bags hanging out to dry. We were pretty wet. And this is the lecture filled just kind of debriefing us and telling us what we would do differently. And yeah, the lesson that we learned while we were there.
And this is all of us at the peak, super happy. During this time, for me, I really fell in love with the Romanian people, Romanian mountains, the staff, what PDF stands for, and how, yeah, we just really experienced God. I don't know how else to describe it, but yeah, and I wanted to be able to help other people have these experiences. And I and I ended up deciding to stay, as you may have noticed. And yeah, we just saw how the staff really devote their time into people, into these programs, into telling the gospel and furthering God's kingdom. So we originally decided to stay to care for the children of those staff families. And we would also be helping in the house and kitchen. So 1 week Abby would be with kids and I would work in the house and kitchen. And then the next week I would be with the kids and she would work in the house and kitchen. So we had a rotating schedule. And in this way, we thought that the staff could be more effective in sharing the gospel, in telling people about our amazing God and how He came to save us and what He's done for us. And yeah, so by deciding to stay, yeah, we thought that, I mean, then they can be more effective or have God work through them to be able to, yeah, do what they do. And then after Bible school, we traveled a little bit with our family, which was really kind of nice and crazy. And then afterwards, the crazy summer began. So PDF is all about these summer camps. In the summertime, we have adult programs, Max Life, Outdoor Challenge, and Survival. Then we also have Michi Exploratore, which means Little Explorers. Then we also have teenage programs, and each, which is a young adult program, and yeah,
so we were, as volunteers, we were able to choose if we wanted to be a participant in any of these camps or a leader, and I decided to be a leader in one of the camps. This is one of our largest camps that we have. It's around 120 kids, and we stay, the leaders and the kids sleep in the camps behind there, and we also eat outside. Everything is outside. So we also eat outside in this big tent, and we have the program there. We have lectures and songs and just a time to come together and to do different things outside. And on the final evening, they have a big bonfire where the kids go up in the woods and bring down wood, and they create a big bonfire. And this is me and one of the girls that I had a special connection with. We were singing worship here. And yeah, one time she just came up to me and gave me a hug and was just crying. She just felt the words of the worship song, and they just stuck to her, and she just came out to me, and we had a really cool connection. That's it. And here we are, all the leaders. It was, the theme was Robin Hood, so that's why we have the fun hat. And the first picture, we were all wearing green.
I chose to be a participant in a survival camp. So this is me and my group with a chicken that they gave to us, and we had to take it up onto the mountain and kill it and eat it for dinner. And this is my group on a cool rock that we found. During the whole trip, we would have lectures. So it was 10 days, the camp was 10 days. And the first 4 days was at PDF, where we would have lectures and were taught how to survive and about what food we needed physically, but also food, spiritual food that we need to be able to live and to grow with God. And then we also had a few lectures on the mountain with team building and leadership, and yeah, I learned a lot at this camp. And this is my leader, Naomi, and yeah, I actually really got close with her, and we're still really good friends, and I think that's really important for me, if I'm, especially if I'm staying, to be able to connect with people and have really close relationships. And this is us trying to set up our tent, but it was really, really windy. I also have a lot of stories about this. If you want to know more stories, you can ask me.
And so the kids that we watched, like I said, there's 17 kids. 17 was just one word. Maybe there's some of the cute kids that we watched this day. We had, and then I had to watch all 17 of the kids. It was a pretty crazy day. Yeah, so they're a lot of fun. And it's fun to, like, be there for them and to play with them and enjoy the time. We also have a rope course and a big zip line, which they use as one of the, just the practical ways to learn more about God. And so each element in the ropes course, they have parallels with your actual life or spiritual life, which is their main goal for this ropes course. They have a debrief afterwards and kind of have like a review over what they learned and how they can see parallels in their life. And the leader, he always says, if the day that this stops glorifying God and doesn't help people to learn more about God, I'm going to go up and tear it all down. So that's their main reason why they have this ropes course, is to have it being a learning way to learn more about God. And here's, you know, if somebody was the big zipline.
Yeah, and so some of these slides may seem kind of disjointed and kind of crazy and random, but that's kind of how the summer is. So we would be working with the kids and in the house and kitchen, but then also have these summer programs that we helped with. And yeah, just serving God and giving our lives to Him and whatever they needed help with, we would help with. This is me helping to make about 40 pizzas for one of the camps. And we're also able to connect a lot with the volunteers who come to PDF and get to know them and learn Romanian and learn about them and their culture. And we were also able to bring a little bit of our culture. This was 4th of July.
And USA was on our 4th.
And we also visited the capital of Bucharest with some of the volunteers. We were able to go on a lot of hikes. And then the new volunteers came in the fall from Germany. And we were able to get really close with them. We had Romanian lessons once a week for a few months. It wasn't really consistent, but we learned some Romanian, some of us more than others. And yeah, we were able to grow really close with this group of people, and I'm sure we will be connected forever, really in a special way to God. I learned a lot with them and through them. You can just see their love and connection with God and their willingness to serve Him. And we had worship nights and prayer nights, and that's something I really learned. These guys, if they were overwhelmed or didn't know really what to do, they would just be like, okay, let's pray. Let's just sit down and pray about this. And that was something really special for me.
Yeah, so kind of like the major school report that we have during the summer for the kids camps is also a local outreach. So this is my local outreach. It's about half an hour away. And so me and one of the other volunteers, we would go and plan the programs and just play games with them. And they came to PDF. And the volunteer and I, we actually planned the whole program for them. And we did a lesson for them and we played games. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And here's the whole group.
And for me, I was able to go back to the same after-school program I was at during Bible school. I really wanted to go back to these kids because I love them and was able to have a connection with them. So I wanted to be able to, go back and invest more of my time in them and to kind of follow up and not just come and go and leave them. And I was able to teach them some English as well as continue with Bible stories and worship and games. And these are the backpacks. I don't know if some of you may have heard about this or supported this. We were able to go and buy this backpack and a lot of school supplies for these kids because they didn't have, sometimes they would just come to school with like a plastic bag with some of their pencils and papers in it. So we were able to buy these kids' backpacks and they really liked them.
And then this is us in the house and kitchen. So this is another part of our job that we do. We just kind of take care of the house, we make sure everything's in order, we make all the rooms in the house. And there's always a lot of people in the house that you need to make sure you clean around. And
yeah, this is during a ski camp, all of the shoes, because they would go out onto the slopes and have their ski boots or snow boots and leave their shoes, and we would try to make it look kind of nice. And then we were also able to help a little bit on construction. This is me with some of the guys making concrete for the new part of the building. And then in the kitchen during the fall, we did a lot of preparation and canning and making jam. and deep cleaning, cooking. This was a day where the three of us were in charge of the kitchen alone for one of the PDF planning days, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and so we also have a STEM program, which is like the fall Bible school. It's shorter than ours, but it's more intense. It's only 5 weeks instead of 10 weeks. It's more adventure-based than mission-based. And so they have challenges. They have a good community. This camp was only, I think, 6 people, so it's a lot smaller. They have different activities like biking and hiking and climbing and camping, so each week is a different element. They also have horseback riding, and so it's more intense, but they still have lectures in between and a good fellowship in there as well.
And then in the fall, our family and some friends came to visit, and it was really nice to be able to take some time off and, yeah, connect with them again. We went to the castle and then went to dinner.
And they followed the staff members.
And around Christmas time, there was a man from church who we knew who organizes this outreach kind of every year, and people from the church donate these bags of snacks and toothbrushes, some foods, different things for these kids who are less fortunate. And yeah, he also did the story, the Christmas story, and a little bit about who Jesus is and explaining things to them, and then we were able to sing some Romanian Christmas songs. And that was really nice, just to be able to experience the culture again and to reach out to these kids and hopefully show them who Jesus is. And he shines through us.
Yeah, we also had our own Christmas program where all of the staff came together and brought their own meals from their different cultures, and we were just able to sit down and enjoy the meal. And this is decorating for Christmas. This is in the conference hall. And yeah, and also after the meal, we had just kind of a time to come together and to play games and to kind of just discuss with each other. And so this is one of the games that we did. We had to put lotion on our face and then see how many cotton balls we could put on our face. Put us in our face in a bowl of cotton balls. And this is the director and his family. They invited us to come to them for Christmas Eve for the service in the old town.
And each year we have a Christmas conference. So this is us learning the kitchen for that. And this is just a little thing from their website about what it is. It's just a time for teenagers to come together. And on the website it says, you'll be challenged so that Christ lives through you. You will experience a beautiful fellowship with other participants. And we will carol together after the Christmas fair. We invite you to come with your friends. This program includes Bible lectures, worship, small group seminars, and relevant topics, a common strategy, and a festive Christmas. And this is the Christmas fair that we helped with. We were making crepes and waffles. And it was really cool to be able to see a lot of participants or volunteers from the past spring and summer came to this event, and we were able to see them again and connect with them and see how they were doing and talk with them about what God was doing in our lives. And a lot of the time they were surprised to see us, like, oh, you're still here. Why are you staying here? So we were able to explain why we were staying and what we were doing and how God called us to stay there.
And we also had a New Year's party. This was one of the groups that came that didn't pay for any Bible studies or anything. We just made them food. So here are some
afterwards.
They just paid for this. It was not anything. So we used the food and desserts, and we were able to go up on this hill at midnight and watch the fireworks go off, and then we had to come back, and we ended up staying until 2 o'clock in the morning doing dishes. It's kind of hard.
But really cool that even if we're not part of their program, that hopefully they can see our willingness to serve and just see God working through us. And after that, we had winter camp, and I was trained to be a snowboard instructor, which was really cool. I had snowboarded a few years before, but I was really able to work on my skills and learn more. And then I was really involved with the camp. I was just with the reception and doing money kind of stuff, which I had never done before, so I learned a lot. And this is me and my group. I'm the tomato there teaching them. And we start off with team building stuff and getting to know each other and then some warm-up exercises, and then we go into the actual training and learning, and this is my group. And this is the whole group, the whole camp is about 50 people, and they stay for 4 days each camp. We had three camps, I think. I was a leader for two of them, and then we also had a ski towing camp. And yeah, there was a ski and some workers from one of the camps. Well, the other slide was pictures of the day. Each day would be a different theme, and so some things were narcissism, activism, materialism, and each day they would have to take a picture of, yeah, representing that theme of the day, and then in the end, in the evening, we would have a lecture about it, and so kind of they would have it in their mind during the day, and in the end, we would talk about it and have a lot of small group discussions, and this is a picture for one of the camps. On a Friday, one of the leaders asked if I would be willing to do a lecture if his wife went into labor, and I kind of took a little bit of time to pray about it, thought about it, and he explained to me what kind of the point of his lecture was going to be. And so I said yes, and that was Friday, and then Sunday, I got a call while I'm teaching snowboarding. Okay, well, Adela went into labor, can you do the lecture? And I was like, oh, sure. And so I had been preparing about it and praying about it and talking to Ebbe, the director, and to Tiki, who was going to do the lecture originally, and so I was kind of prepared, but still just felt really kind of not worthy of doing this lecture because I had never done something like this before. And yeah, this is a time for me to just totally rely on God and have Him speak through me and just like, God, please speak to these people because I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear You. And that was a really cool experience. I had good conversations after that.
Yeah, and some of you might have known I had a snowtubing accident and broke two of my wrists in February, and so this is one of the staff members. She's a Canadian, and she like personally took me to the hospital, and you can just see like how willing she was like to help me and to like, be with me during this time, which was really amazing. And here we are, all the volunteers. This is we all came together, and like I said before, like we had a really good community, and we're able to connect with each other really well.
A little family.
Yeah, and then there are a few organizations in Germany that are kind of with the government, and so the government, when Corona happened, they asked they told the volunteers that they needed to come back to Germany. And so it was kind of hard and kind of sudden that they were called back home, and so this is the time that we just came together and were praying for them. And this is the four of us who remain, me, Andrea, the two guys, Donnie and Nisha. And so since we weren't really with an organization that was calling us back, we decided to stay and to continue helping at PDF because we were able to. Yeah, and during this time, since nobody was in the house or the kitchen, we didn't need to help clean or cook. We decided to start building this playground for the kids. They kind of just had it with more things. So this is us helping with the playground, so we were all able to come together. This is what it looked like before we had started doing some digging already. And then this is what it looks like now. This is just things before we left, so we did a lot of work, which was really nice, and the kids enjoyed that.
We also helped on the new building construction to finish some rooms and to help with the foundation of the other part of the building. So this is what it looked like when we first came to Romania. And it's not finished now, but this is what it looks like now. We finished all of the rooms and started the balcony, and there's another part on the other side, like behind the building, which will look the same. Right now there's 10 rooms in this building, two of them are for staff, and then the other side will have another 10 buildings. So about 100 people will be able to fit in this building.
And this is our room over here.
So this is Elke, which is Ebbe, the director's wife. She's in charge of housekeeping and kitchen, and so during Corona we were able to learn a lot with her. She taught us how to bake bread, and we sewed the curtains for the new room. We did a lot of deep cleaning, and she does a lot for PDF, and she's a really, really wonderful person and takes a lot of time to invest in the volunteers and teach them how to clean and just tips on how to cook, how to run a house. Kind of, and in February, I was asked if I would be willing to take over her role as hospitality manager. And I took a few months to pray a lot about it and to ask friends and family what they thought. And I yeah, decided to stay for the next 3 years as hospitality manager. And yeah, I helped with training the volunteers and organizing things in the house and cleaning and preparing them for all of these camps that come. And I'm also in charge of the kitchen when Chipri, our head chef, is not there. So I've been in charge of the kitchen a few times. I didn't do a lot of cooking before I left, so I've learned a lot about cooking and how to run a house, and it's been, yeah, really amazing to have these people invest their time and their energy and also just pour into me with love and showing me who God is and praying with me and mentoring me. And yeah, I'm really excited to be able to stay for the next 3 years. I feel like God is really calling me to this place. Yeah, cooking, cleaning is not really like my passion in life, but I feel that Romania is my passion and my calling, and that God has called me here for a reason, and I'm really excited to see what He does through me. And yeah, I hope that I'm not doing anything out of my own power, my own will, but that people see God through me and that God has worked through me. And yeah, we'll be staying in an apartment in a new building that we said earlier, which has its own kitchen and bathroom and living area. And yeah, we're excited about that. I also helped with the spring mission, or the spring mission Bible school was canceled, so I was able to help with the online mission Bible school a little bit as a leader, organizing it and doing group discussions. It was a lot, but it was really good to see God working.
Yeah, then this summer it was kind of still weird with Corona, so I was able to actually go into the lake and do some swim lessons, which I had done previously here in America, which was a lot of fun. Just spending time with the kids, it became more personal than during Corona, because since we didn't have people coming in to kind of distract them, it was more personal, which was really nice.
And yeah, so during Corona we had to change the way we did camps, eating outside, wearing masks and gloves and everything, but we were able to still have camps in a different way than what we explained last year, but still able to have them. And this year I was a leader with the survival camp, which was amazing. And I did the lecture about the regular food, but it was really cool to be able to experience the culture even more. I really experienced the Romanian culture at this camp, and because it's all in Romanian. It was all in Romanian the year before, and I like understood some things, but this year I was able to understand almost everything and talk in Romanian, and that was really cool for me. And then I continued to work in the house and kitchen while I was with kids, since I was being trained a little bit more to work in the house and kitchen, since I'll be staying there for 3 years. Abio was just with the kids, and I was in the house and kitchen with the volunteers, and we had to wear masks all the time, which was kind of hard, but yeah, God helped us survive this summer as well, survival camp. And so yeah, that was the end of our presentation, and we just have some prayer requests to be intentional with our time that we're there, to not just, yeah, let it be something that, oh yeah, we're in Romania, this is like great, and it's great, but we want to be intentional with our time and to, yeah, be able to pour into people like we've been poured into, with just, yeah, with who God is and being able to share that with other people, to remember why we stayed, why we felt like we've been called to stay in Romania, and that people see God through us. And then, yeah, for me to trust God that He provides for me during this time, that I'll be there for 3 years. And they have a goal for me to raise $1,000 per month, and that's the like baseline salary for all the single people who work at PDF. We have to raise monthly support so that we can, yeah, plan our budget and plan how we want to live. This would cover food and lodging, and also, yeah, also for fun stuff. It's really important for them, for us to have time off and to be able to, yeah, fill ourselves up again so that we can pour out onto other people. And this also would include transportation, clothes, yeah, everything that you need to live. And so, yeah. It went a little bit longer than 12, but we had a lot to share, and we're really thankful for your love and support and for listening to us and praying for us. We definitely feel the prayers across the ocean, and yeah, we're so glad that we're able to do this and so glad that God led us here to this place. Oh yeah, I think that's it. If anyone has any questions, I don't know if we have time to answer them. These are also some pictures from a high school that we did.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about your cultural challenges that you did,
yeah,
when you had to go out and had to find places to stay,
mm-hmm.
are the people in the towns that you went to, are they familiar of the challenge that, like, you're going out, like, have they heard of the program and they might know?
No, they have no idea. Yeah. Previous Bible schools, like the same Bible school that we went to, some of them went to a nice same location, but the people there didn't know. In my place, the village where I was dropped off in, was the first time that they done the cultural challenge in that village.
Yeah, I think we found one person who knew Ebbe, because Ebbe knows everybody somehow. So yeah, the director of PDF. But the individual people and families that we went to had no idea what was happening. You're crazy. What are you Americans doing in this tiny Romanian village? But everyone was so, not everyone, a lot of people were really open and generous with their time and their food. And some people would be like, I can't give you a place to stay, but here's soup and like a ton of bread. And we're like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And yeah, able to talk to them through that.
Yeah, sometimes I thought that they were like maybe watching us, like they knew where we were, but then at one point we just went on this random road and there was nobody. And I thought to myself and I said to the other people who were in my team, like, nobody knows where we are. Like, the only people that know like our exact location are the people here and God. And that was kind of like opened my eyes, like only God can see me at this moment and where I am.
Well, you worked with Corazon Fox and as a father when we went over there, I was picturing that they see these little villages, and you're like, oh, you know, they're little villages. But if you like them going from Delta to Lancaster, this little village to that little village, and having to like hitchhiking it. So it wasn't like just here across the street. It was like, what?
Well, I know you've committed to 3 years. What's
Abigail?
What's your plan?
Right now I'm committed for one more year. They asked me to stay a little bit longer because since there was no Bible school because of Corona, there was nobody to take over my position of taking care of the kids. So they asked me to stay another year longer. So at the moment I'm staying for another year longer and we'll see what happens.
My other question is just technical. I'm familiar with torchbearers in the USA. They have guest teachers come in. Does he teach most of the courses, or do they have guest people come in and teach from Germany or whatever? And when they come in and teach, when you were at the Bible school, did they, what courses or what topics did they cover, and did they speak in English? I mean, how does that work? How long were they, like a weekend or a week or a month?
Yeah, so pretty much every week there would be a different lecture. So the first week was a lecture. And so the first week was the director of the one in Romania where we were. There was other teachers and directors from other torchbearer centers. There was one from India, one from Germany, and so they would come. Most of them would speak English, but we had some directly coming from Romania, which they would then be translated for us. So it was in between Romanian or English. And Peter Reed, the director of Torchbearers International, also came to do a lecture one week.
And what were some of the sessions? What were some of the topics?
So one of the lecturers from Germany taught us about, she went through the entire book of Ephesians, so we studied the book of Ephesians. One lecturer came and talked to us about apologetics and kind of defending your faith and how to be able to do that when you feel attacked, kind of, and how you can do that through love and not just, like, spit it in the face. We also had lectures about missions and culture and what it's like to be in that kind of a setting and maybe some things that you would experience if you went into missions. We also had a lecturer who taught about how to plan kids programs and we kind of experienced the whole kids program and then were able to also plan our own program. And
some of them were just some books of the Bible or other topics that they had thought about.
Did the length of the sessions, did they just kind of vary? Like some guests were there for a week, some 2 weeks, a month?
Yeah, most of the lecturers were there for 1 week, and we would have three or four lectures each day during that week. So we would have like maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, and then 1 or 2 in the evening. And in between that time, we would do, like, outdoor adventure stuff, or team building, or go on a hike, or nap time. Yeah, during the week, we had lectures every day of the week, and I don't know, the sessions were like maybe an hour or two each session. And Peter Reed, who was the director of Towards Greater International, also came and he talked about Christ and me, and me and Christ, and how that's the only way that we can do anything. And yeah, during this time, I felt God speaking to me really directly about a lot of things in my life and what I had done and how my life was before I came here. And yeah, this Bible school was a really, like, life-changing event, and I totally changed the way that I live my life and how I see God and who I am in God. And yeah, changed a lot of things in my life. During Bible school, I broke up with my boyfriend while I was there, and so that was like a huge thing, and a lot of these lectures spoke right to me in my heart, and I felt God was speaking so clearly to me a lot of the time. And
I just have one more question. Could you say John 3:16 in Romania?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't know. I'm really bad about memorizing Bible verses in Romania.
Or any verse, any verse.
In Romanian?
Yeah.
I can read a verse.
Yeah.
Okay.
John 3:16.
What do you have
to do?
Romanian translation?
And don't worry, none of us are
going to
know.
But maybe somebody will know. Okay, so this is John 3:16. Ioan 3:16. Fiindcă atât de mult a iubit Dumnezeu lumea, că a dat pe singurul lui Fiu, pentru ca oricine crede în El să nu piară, ci să aibă viața veșnică. So, iubit is love, and Dumnezeu is God. Yeah, I might have another verse, maybe, but yeah.
Well, thank you.
Is there a lot of Muslims in Romania? Yeah, that's why a lot of the kids couldn't speak about Christ in their homes.
Yeah, especially in the Black Sea, there's a lot of Muslims and, what are the buildings called? Mosques. Yeah, there's a lot of mosques, and you can hear them doing their prayers and singing, and yeah, they're really not very open to Jesus and or God or things like that. And a lot of, there's also a lot of Orthodox Christians, and when we try to talk to them about what they believe, and they say, we're Orthodox Christians, and like, what are you? And they say that we're Christians. They're like, oh, it's the same. And we're like, no. So during Bible school, I had a lot of questions about the Orthodox Church and how I can present it in a way that makes sense to them, because they believe in the priests and the saints and that kind of stuff. So I'm still, like, really curious about the Orthodox Church and how I can communicate that clearly, and I think, yeah, it's not going to happen just like that, but yeah, I really want to be able to present the gospel and Jesus and the Bible in a way that they can understand, and not just, oh yeah, you're Christian, I'm Christian too, but yeah, there's also a lot of Muslims, especially in, not necessarily where we live, but on the, near the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm. What religion are the Gypsies?
Yeah. They have a lot of their own kind of beliefs, or yeah, I don't really know a lot about it, but some of them have churches, some of them are Orthodox, some of them I think don't believe in anything, just kind of believe in themselves. I don't know a lot about that, but yeah.
Yeah, some of them not really turned away, but they kind of became more modern because they're very like down-to-earth people and like don't have very good living conditions usually, and so sometimes even at the churches that we go to, they'll be there, and some of them are being more into like a Christian community. So,
yeah, like the after school program, I know some people who are involved in an organization, and they go out to these different Gypsy programs, so the Gypsies that we have contact with go to church or have been taught about God and Jesus. So they're familiar with it, but I'm not sure about Gypsies in general.